Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Wow, we just finished a really interesting conversation with Ruth Jo Simons. It was great.
It was so good. Ruth is an author and an artist. 15 years ago, she started a blog, which turned into a store and a business called Grace Laced. And I've read a few of her books. And when I read the first one, When Striving Cease, I just thought, gosh, I wish I could just talk to her and get her on the podcast. And so we just reached out and she said, yes, she has a new book coming out September 13th. For Advent, actually, called Emmanuel, An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. Yes. The book is breathtakingly beautiful. We talk about it in the interview.
Well, she designed the whole thing.
Yeah, she did all of the art for it, wrote the whole thing. But what I love most about our conversation is we talked more than anything else about the backstory of what the years were like for her before she had a business, before she was an author and a speaker, and how that content grew. And I think so many of us find ourselves in that season, and she just really speaks directly to that.
I found her quite charming. She had a beautiful, beautiful view that I just kept looking at. She sat in this glass box, which she'll explain. It's just beautiful and lovely conversation. So if you haven't had a chance yet to rate or subscribe to the podcast, thank you for doing that. For everybody that has, please rate the podcast, subscribe to it, or leave a comment. That's always helpful. Also, just want to let you know, as you're listening today, we had a couple audio technical difficulties. So there might be some moments where Elizabeth and I's voices sound a little different from here and there. So please excuse that, but really enjoy our conversation today with Ruth. Welcome to the show, Ruth Jo Simons. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for having me, Brooke and Elizabeth. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, we're so grateful to have you. And little backstory to how I came across your work was, I want to say it was like, maybe it was last summer or two summers ago. Every year before we start our homeschool year, I get to go on a night or two away and just kind of pray and plan. And I always like pick audiobooks to listen to and go on walks around the river where we live. And I came across one of your books and just like binge listened while I walked around the river and was just trying to gear up for another year, it really in a place of striving. And it was When Striving Cease.
I was going to ask what the title, Striving Cease.
The title just caught me because I am just naturally by nature a doer, which turns into striving so often. And I don't even realize it's happening until I'm like totally at the end of myself. And then I'm like, oh, I probably should have asked God for help. So I just resonated with your story. And I feel like so much of what I've heard from you and the content I've ingested from you since then really embodies that message of just ceasing to strive and sitting in God's grace and his presence and abiding in him. And as I've been able to learn a little bit of your story, it sounds like that's been a journey for you as well. So I'd love it if you just took a minute and just introduced your family. And then I'd love to take you back to the early years of motherhood, which I'm sure you'll share about your family, but which was a while ago now.
Sure. Yes. Yes. For anyone who's not too familiar, I am Ruth Jo Simons. I am the founder of Gracelace.com, and I'm also an artist and an author. But in previous seasons, when I wasn't so publicly active with my art and my writing, I was a pastor's wife. My husband was a headmaster of a classical school that we founded. I only give some context because sometimes we see people on the internet and we're like, they've always gotten to live out their dreams. And so I just want to be real upfront for all the parents who are listening going, I am in a season where I'm not doing my dream, job. Yeah. I'm not using my art skills. There was a season like that where it was very hidden for me. My husband was a preaching pastor as well as headmaster of a school. And I was cleaning up sticky spots on the counter every single day of my life.
Mentoring
and counseling young women in the wee hours after the kids went to bed. So I just want to make sure that I say that right up front. What you see me do publicly in this season of life in my late 40s has not always been. And so when I introduce myself as an artist and author and a founder of a, running a company, these are things that God's allowed me to do in a different season of life. But I'm a mama to six boys, and I certainly do know what causes it. And I was not just, we were not just trying for a girl, but we really, really love being parents.
You've heard a lot of people. You've heard a lot of people do that. Like, where you keep trying. You're like, we have four kids. The same deal. Like, did you mean to? We're like, actually, yes.
Yes, and, we did.
And I know that's not everyone's story, but you're right. Yeah, good clarification.
Right. I always have to like do that now. I either, when I'm speaking at events, I'll say I'm a mama to six, and then I just pause and let everybody just like take that in a minute. And usually, I have to follow up with, okay, all the things. Like, we're not just, we were just trained for a girl. We love parenting, and we do know what causes it. So it tends to be, it tends to run on like that. But my oldest is now 20. He's a senior in college, and my youngest is 9. He's a fifth grader whose BFF is the 20-year-old. So, it's like 9.
That's going so cool.
And so they're all boys, best of friends, but currently we are in a season of great transition. I'm not changing diapers. I am not teaching somebody how to tie shoelaces, and I'm not breaking up fights all the time, but we're dealing with other things. And so it's just one of those times where I can look back and say what the Lord taught me in more hidden years or years when I didn't necessarily get to live out all my dreams or use every gifting that I thought I wanted to use. In those years, God taught me things that I'm now applying and that are hugely a part of my life now. So I just say all that because sometimes when I am on an interview like this, I feel like everybody's aware of my public work, but they don't always know what's gone into the foundation and the private life that stays the work publicly. And so being a mama to six, I don't want to ever sound like I do everything because I don't. But in previous seasons, I always say, God can call you to a ton of stuff. You just may not be able to do all of them all at the same time. And so different seasons, I've had different priorities. And in this particular particular season, I am in the spotlight and I am, we're not, my husband's not currently a teaching pastor at a church or running a school, and the public work is on me, but we are still in ministry together as a family.
That's so, well, I want to say it's so beautiful. And thank you for giving the building in the expectation and reality of what it actually looks like, because that is the truth. And we have another friend that we've chatted with recently, and she was saying the same thing, that a lot of things that she started to do publicly or writing or the things that were so started in her heart, maybe even in high school for her, didn't really start actually being able to be something that she had space or time or even capacity or strength to do until maybe her early 40s. And that was really when she realized, like, actually that was, it was so good for me, for my family. I was ready. Before we get into all that really important, serious stuff, I just need to try to paint a word picture of the background of which you're sitting in, because it is exquisite. And it's like, so we're looking at Ruth, but there, then behind her are mountains and trees and forests. So where are you guys located, and where are you physically at again right now? Where are you actually at? It's beautiful.
We live in Western Colorado. So we're in what's called the Four Corners. We're almost to the Utah border. We're almost to New Mexico. We're in the Four Corners of Colorado. And my house sits up on at 8,000 foot elevation. So we So yes. And then my office, I'm a painter and I write, so I need to be inspired. But my office is if you can tell, it's a glass box. I basically sit in a glass box on the second story of our house at 8,000 feet. So
We are going to get along so well because those aesthetic things. Yeah. And especially when you live in a place where the glass box is looking out onto the most exquisite beauty in the world, 8,000 feet. So you guys have so exercise at that level. How does that feel?
Well, we do really well when we go to the beach. I mean, we run for miles. Like the boys are like, man, my lungs feel amazing. No, I have really active boys. I am not the most athletic person in the world, but God made me a boy mom. So I cheer them on by going four wheeling in a car that's we've got a lifted Sequoia, because that's what fits eight people. And got gnarly tires on it, and we go down Jeep trails, so we don't have to rent, because we're local. We don't want to rent like all the vehicles, but nothing fits all of us. And so my life smells like motor oil and dirt. There's Legos all over. So they are dirt biking boys. They all moto, and they mountain bike, and they do a lot of downhill scary things where they have to wear big helmets. So that is my life. And so that way, if any of your listeners pick up one of my books and they see butterflies and peonies and gorgeous flowers, just know that God can work in mysterious ways sometimes.
Like
He can call you to things that you don't think, that you think you're so unlikely for. I always say I'm an unlikely boy mom, because I'm like, seriously, I just don't understand, you know, the appeal of dirt biking or dirt or or motor oil or all the speed, guns, you know, shooting, archery. None of those things really appeal to me. But here I am in Western Colorado, and and you know what does appeal to me is being reminded that God created all this and I didn't. So that's why I look out onto all this wild, wild environment.
I'm so well. Thank you for pleasing our eyes and having such a good sense of aesthetic. View. Seriously, because it's like, I hope more people can see that, because it's beautiful. And then some of the beauty. I just want to say, we got your book early. Obviously, thank you. This is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, but just as design, like as someone who appreciates nice things, I'm not just talking about we're talking about your book, Emmanuel. Not just the aesthetics of it, obviously that's so appealing, and you did all the artwork, I understand, in all of this, which is also incredible, but the fact that it feels like, I'm a texture person, and there's like, you can feel it, and you're like, oh wait, that's like in the, it's like thick, like, and embossed, perfect.
And I started to read it, and then I was like, oh no, I want to wait, because I want to enjoy it.
We just decided we're going to decorate with
the
it.
Christmas season.
But this, but thank you.
You appreciate like the chunkiness of it. Yeah, everything about it just feels so good in your hands. Yeah.
I could just imagine you like getting all the different tests. Like I know the type, like, you know, you get the book back and you're like feeling, you're like, there's just something off. It feels wrong. It just doesn't have it yet. Go back. We need different sizes, different textures, different. Is that true? Is that accurate of you?
Oh yeah. My publishers are always so good to give me lots of say on, you know, exactly where I want texture and where I don't, and on all this stuff. So super grateful to design things.
Turned out so beautifully. And we're going to get into that and definitely want to talk about all of your books, but especially the new one coming out. But I want to, because we've already kind of gone there a little bit, I want to continue to take us back to, you know, I listened to one of your podcasts recently. You're coming up on, or maybe already have come to, the 15 year anniversary of Grace Laced, the blog, which turned into your business and you selling your beautiful artwork. But something struck me when you were just sharing the story and you were talking about how you started and how you were the mom of just a couple littles and you didn't know what you were doing. You started it for yourself to start writing. And you said something kind of when you were at the end of sharing that story, that the content that you now have created was born out of those years. and that we say content creation and we take classes on it and we sit down to do it. But you said, we don't create content. And you started talking about how we live it and we experience it.
Yeah.
And I think we live in such a cultural moment where there's so many people in their, you know, sometimes in their 20s or early 30s who have this overnight Instagram, YouTube success and become an influencer. And we feel all this pressure to have this like impactful life. And yet really that depth of character and that content comes out of living a handful of years and living years that are not easy and sitting with the daily hardness of motherhood and parenting or sitting in a job you don't love and remaining faithful. So I just would love to hear you, anything on your heart in that, like speak to that, take us back to those years. And what do you wish you could tell yourself back then? Like, what do you wish that mom knew then?
I love that you framed it up this way, because I think what's happened in our current culture is that everybody looks the same when you're looking a little avatar or a little profile.
Yes.
We all look like we're the same age and we're all working with the same tools. You know, everybody's got a modern farmhouse house, you know, and it's like, we're all the same somehow. And we can say, let's not do the comparison thing, but you kind of feel like everybody's running the same race and we're not. And I think the thing that we underestimate is that the very best work always comes out of the overflow of our hearts. And you can't rush being filled up. You just can't rush wisdom, right? You can't rush sanctification. It's not like you can say, you know what? I'm sure going to be a wise person by tomorrow with a lot of depth and a lot of wisdom on how to deal with, like, if I were to get 100,000 followers tomorrow, how would I deal with that? Well, not a lot of people think about that. They just hope to hit 1 million followers on TikTok, but they don't really know who they're going to be once they get there.
Yes.
And I think the thing that we are forgetting is that God's always been after our hearts more than he's been after the work that we do. And so what I was able to, I think of it now as a blessing, as a privilege, as a mercy. But I got to say, Elizabeth, back in that moment when I had all these littles, I just thought the ship was passing me by. I saw people getting, this was before Instagram, and I saw people, you know, making money from their blogs or getting published or going to all sorts of conferences. And this was literally before all the stuff that we even see now, you know, this is before Instagram, before TikTok. But I remember thinking, I know I have giftings. I know I have skills. I know I have a message on my heart.
Yeah.
I literally can't get through the next 2 hours without my kids fighting and having to take out the next hour to sit in the bathroom and get after their hearts, because I knew what I didn't want to do was simply go, you go over there, you go over there, stop talking to each other. I'll see you at dinner.
Yeah.
I knew that wasn't going to cut it. But your parents, you know, if you're going to take the next hour to actually talk about the heart issue and why they're fighting and what's going on and how mama deals with sin in my life, if I'm going to go there and I'm going to share the gospel with my kids, that's going to take some time and it's going to be inefficient.
Oh,
and I might not get to start dinner when I want to. I'm certainly not going to leisurely blog right now, or I might not even have, something wonderful to say, because we're so stuck in a culture where we should have an opinion or have something amazing to say about something as it's happening. But that's not really how God works in our hearts. He actually like takes us through the valley and takes us through really difficult times and transforms us, sanctifies us. And on the other side of that, we can say, okay, look where I've been. Look how he was faithful. And a lot of times we all feel the pressure to say, okay, I've got something to say about it right this minute. And we don't actually give ourselves time. We're rushing all that God's trying to do in our lives. So when I go back to that season that you're describing, I remember, literally learning about what blogs were. This was 2008. And I can do that, thinking I want to do that, but I'm literally spending my time raising littles and meal planning and then supporting my husband in local ministry, where it really takes both of us to go and love people around the dinner table, after the kids go to bed, during nap time. And so capacity was just not there. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, my ship's passing me by. I'll never get to use these things. And it just felt like this big booming sense of like, what a waste. What a waste of this season. I just feel like all these minutes, they're so long. The long days situation, yep. You know, where you're like, yeah. Oh my goodness, is bedtime ever going to come? And you,
oh, yeah.
And you feel like, and then you feel guilty that you're squandering it in your heart, that somehow you numbed out and you kind of just go, will you guys just get along for another couple hours, watch a little show? Uh-huh. And in those moments where I didn't feel satisfied, when I felt like my life was lacking something, or I wasn't getting to do great things for God, that's where Grace Laced, the blog, was born. And the reason why it was called Grace Laced was literally because I knew that my life was super mundane in this moment. I wasn't a missionary overseas. I wasn't like running hard after all these things with my husband. I actually was home caring for my littles. Mm-hmm. I wasn't working full time. And I said, God, the grace of God has got to make sense and matter even when my life doesn't look the way I thought it would. And so help me discover that. Help me find how your grace is laced through my everyday life. And so that's how it was born. It was really meant to be something where I worked out kind of like a good Berean, work out my salvation and understand how does this matter when I'm picking up Cheerios off the ground that I just stepped on over and over again. I remember this one day, and I'm sure you guys can relate, but the kids were horsing around when they were little. And I'm talking like all under like age 8 or something, right? At the point, and they're all like being a little rowdy, and somebody knocks over an entire Costco sized jar of bread and butter pickles.
Oh my gosh.
Which is sugary, right? And sticky and syrupy. Yeah. And so this thing shatters, and we had this kitchen island that was like furniture style. So the juice went under the cabinet, and it was sticky. And we were financially like, it was a big deal to get extra things like unpickles or whatever. And I just felt the weight of, we now have wasted that entire jar of pickles. Now I have to spend another 3 hours cleaning something I didn't want to clean. You know, I didn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Now I have to deal with them horsing around and causing this to happen. And I remember feeling so angry that I could be making something of myself. I could be using my giftings another way. But what I mean by saying that the lessons I learned in that season actually are now the fruit that sustains and grows the very thing that is now public is that at that time, what made me want to just check out and be like, this is the most ridiculous way to spend my life. I can't believe. My husband and I spent a lot of time in that season, and specifically in that particular memory, he said, honey, what if this is exactly what God wants us to learn in this moment? What if this is really ministry right now? What if this is faithfulness? Not you going to use your writing gifts or your artistic gifts or your ability to lead women. What if this is exactly how it looks to be faithful right now? To talk to your kids about horsing around, to clean up the mess, and to trust God that this is not the last jar of pickles you're going to get to buy. And you know, the lessons we learned in that moment and the being faithful in the everyday actually set me up so that when things were published, when I started getting paid for my work, when my work started going around the world, I knew where the treasure was. The treasure wasn't found in the book selling, and the treasure wasn't found in having a career. The actual treasure was what I learned way back when.
Yeah.
And now it's just a new platform, a new way of sharing that. Mm. And so I guess if I could just summarize all that for our listener right now, and you know, God knows exactly who's listening and what they're struggling with. And I would just say he doesn't waste anything. Nothing is wasted. Yeah. And in those very seasons that you're going like, does anyone see me? I can't post this moment on social media, and I wouldn't want to if I
tried.
That this is really, that God doesn't waste anything. And he's using every little moment, even the most mundane ones, to shape you for what he has for you in days to come. And we just can't see it yet.
Oh gosh. I love that so much. And I feel like so speaks to me, even the season that I'm in. We have two that are a little bit older, but two that are still 6 and 4. And so have been in a season, we joke often. I think Brooke was bathing the kids the other night, and he just came out and he said, I'm so tired of bathing kids, because the way ours are spread, you know, spanned over 9 years. And so we've been
I was trying to do the math, though. It's got to be, I mean, if you do one bath a day, which we obviously like, we're definitely a one bath, like we make our kids shower every day. And if people are like, yeah, I can't believe you, like, that's just our preference. Like, they're a lot more cuddly when they don't stink. But anyway, I'm thinking like, this has got to be, even if you introduce showers, this has got to be at least 2,000 or more baths. And I'm primarily the one that gives baths because it's usually around the time when she's making dinner, and it's a very disastrous thing if anyone was to allow me in the space of cooking. So we just use our strengths. So I go and I give the kids a bath, but I'm like, this is getting really old. Like, I'm really kind of done. And it's taken this long, but mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. That was your point, but I'm just saying it's a lot of things.
So yeah. Agree with you. It is so transformative that day after day, the mundane and staying faithful is so transformative. And I'm thinking of, and some of these questions are selfish because they're, I'm thinking of myself in them.
Yeah. We just want to know from you. This is counseling. Really. That's what we're wanting to do.
But I feel similar to what you're describing, that there's a message in my heart that has been like growing and evolved and changed. And I want to find ways to share it and write it. I would love to write someday. And yet I struggle with the same thing that you're describing of thoughts of like, is it going to be too late for me? Is it passing me by? And I have people in my life that's not the case. My mom wrote a book way later in her life and now writes all the time. But one thing you talked about in that interview, and we'll link that episode, it was just a bonus episode on your podcast, but you said that in that season, there was a year that you chose to write every day, and you were talking about the fact that you chose to invest in writing and into honing that skill, and you didn't watch the latest show, or, you know, maybe there wasn't Instagram at that time, but you weren't scrolling Instagram. Like, you were intentional with your time while being present in the season that you were in and home with your kids and all that looks like. You also made a choice to keep a part of you growing and start activating a part of you. And I was really struck by that because I know that I'm not alone in that, that there's other moms out there or dads out there who have a kind of a vision of what they would love to see come to pass, but they can't quite see how they would make that work. But yet I think our tendency is to be, at least mine, is to be very perfectionistic, all or nothing. If I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. And I love everything you have to say about that. So I would love for you to just talk about that. Like, what did you do to start cultivating something in yourself, cultivating that skill so that when it was time, you had already kind of laid a foundation?
Mm-hmm. I love that you just said that, the all or nothing mentality, because I think that's my struggle too, is that I, in my natural state, want to be like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to be amazing at it. I'm going to go all in. And the reality is, most of us, if God's called us to really impactful, important things, and especially as parents, where it's a limited season, where we really are the primary influencers of our children's hearts, it can't be all or nothing, right? I mean, and so for me, I really realized, okay, I can't see everything happen all at once, but I can make small adjustments, and I can just choose to do small little things that will continue to take me down the trajectory of where I want to go. It's not my analogy, but I'll just point it out again. We all know that if you isn't the story something like, if you're leaving from LA and you're trying to get to New York, if you literally go off course by 5 degrees a little bit at a time, you're not going to end up in New York and you're going to end up in Florida. And I'm butchering that picture, but the illustration is to show us that little tiny little adjustments will still change your course. And so I think we need to remember that in the little years, it's not just saying, I have to build the perfect office. I have to have a full-time nanny. I have to quit my job and do this thing that I want to do. If God's called you to that, absolutely. There's no one right way or one wrong way. But we do have to look at focusing on what has God given us to do that we absolutely must be faithful in. And I would say worshiping Him, knowing Christ, investing in our spouse, investing in our children, and shaping and being good stewards of what He's already given. That's first and foremost, right? But outside of that, what I did was ultimately say, I'm given 24 hours just like everybody else. So what can I cut out? And what I cut out was not always going out with my friends, just because there's an opportunity for a bunch of girls to get together, I would choose when I would do that and wouldn't always go. And yeah. I think I shared in that podcast that you can't ask me one thing about the office or parenthood or This Is Us. Like I did not watch, I mean, Downton Abbey. No, those are more recent, but I literally have never seen an episode of any of those. And so, so those are choices that I made, right? Because we all, you can do an inventory in your own life and say, okay, apart from the bathing hour and the time it takes to do dishes, what is it that I'm using to numb myself out? And how can I take that time and not work harder, but to say, God, help me be a good steward of the things you've put on my heart in this amount of time.
Redeeming. So you're talking about redeeming time as far as I'm ingesting it, but you know, I'm wanting to think of the other. So I'm not a woman. This is a very obvious thing. But I also know I'm married to a woman who is not a, she's a high, she's very, what's the right word? Well, beautiful one. No, the couple things that I think like high functioning in the sense she has a great capacity, and that can both be her greatest strength and something that really actually can be very harmful if it's not put in the right place, like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of the mom right now, or you know, and Elizabeth can obviously, she's a little bit further in the journey. But I would say for the mom that is maybe in her 20s and she has young kids, but she's got fire in her bones. Like God birthed this little one to become now an adult woman who's now had kids, but she also is like in that space where she is wanting to drive and conquer and lead and do those things which are also in her. What is some of the damage that you've seen when we don't honor where we are actually at and what we like, if we try to skip that stage, do you have any insight to the damage that it causes? Or, and this is more curiosity, but do you have any insight on that?
No, this is good.
I would say first and foremost, I would say my husband and I talk about it within our own home, but I would say in the next 10 years, we're going to see some of the effects of having homes that have been, maybe everybody's working from home, but they're not present. Nobody's present with their kids. Yeah. They're all, you know, we have an entire generation of moms who have been really empowered. And listen, I'm a mama who wants to empower other mamas. I'm not saying at all, like, you know, don't follow your dreams. Don't go and pursue things. I'm simply saying there's a cost to everything. Count the cost and be a good steward of what God's given you. So it's not don't pursue your dreams. It's that there's a cost, and there will always, and the people who always suffer for our in lack of attention and our lack of investment will always be our kids and our marriages. Yeah. And I think you see a lot of people crumbling under the weight of building on social media, because then you have the added layer of we got to build and put our best face forward. So you almost can't build authentically. You have to build without being honest about what's really happening. Yeah. So you see people talk, there's a high rate of divorce. There's a high rate of kids just having struggles with mental health. And I just know that that's going to come out more and more, because it's been so widely accepted for everyone to live for themselves. And I'm not just, I'm not knocking, you know, pursuing things in an orderly fashion. I'm just saying we have a cultural ethos of every person should run hard after what's good for them. And sometimes that means a sacrifice and actually laying down, dying to self. Yes. As God's word tells us to do, is no longer prioritized. And so when that's the case, then we're going to see children who haven't been discipled, who haven't seen parents who are training them up at home. And on the other side of it, I would also say, because it's such a good question, Brooke, I would just say anxiety in women and fear and striving. When you just described what is happening with that overachieving woman, I'm an overachieving, recovering perfectionist. But I know what something's up and I'm not healthy when I see myself striving and I define that by anxious, saying, you know, that's what I say I'm doing when I'm anxiously kind of like trying to control or manipulate a situation or feeling fearful constantly and anxiously trying to gain for myself something that I don't trust God for. So is it wrong to want to build a platform for your blog? No. But if I'm anxiously going, I need to do this if I want to be happy, well, then that's really anxiously striving for something, thinking that if I don't, that's like going back to Adam and Eve. It's Eve going, maybe God's holding out on me. So I got to take for myself and disobey what he's given me already.
Yeah.
Like not being okay with what he's given me, but taking for myself something he told me isn't mine yet. And so I just think it's a good reminder for us that the danger isn't that there's a personality that's the right one or the wrong one. No, if you're ambitious and you've got a lot of drive and you have a lot of capacity, God will use that. But be in check where your heart is striving and where you're trying to gain for yourself something that God, that you're not trusting God to provide for you.
So really fast, thank you. That's really helpful. Really, really great perspective. How do you, Ruth, how do you check in with yourself to make sure you're not striving? What are those maybe mental conversations and or prayers and or activities that you've built into your life strategically to check in with yourself to make sure, hey, am I striving in this moment? Or am I actually, you know, am I just actually stressed or stressed about something else? Because those, I think that could overlap a lot. So I'm curious, what are some of those activities for you to kind of check in with yourself on striving?
Yeah, I really notice when my anxiety level or my anger or is kind of coming out in a way where I'm demanding of other people to be to conform to what I want. That's a really good check for myself. When I'm starting to talk to other people, like it's their responsibility to make sure that I'm happy. I don't say it like that, but you know, I'm thinking about the fact that when we're talking, as we're anticipating the holiday season, this is the classic time, right? It's the classic time where we're like, I will not have a good Christmas until it goes this way. And so I think it's not just a mom thing. It could be a dad thing. A dad could be like, I'm most happy if this house is silent. Everybody be quiet. You know, whatever it is, like we, when we start acting as if other people's actions are responsible for making peace for us, we're not turning to God for that peace. And so I'm pretty sensitive now to like stop and go, okay, Lord, like the first conversation is not with the person causing me stress. The first person is, I mean, the first person I have to talk to is actually God saying, okay, I confess that I'm like going off the rails right now about this. Lord, where am I, like, what am I really worshiping in this moment? Am I worshiping my own happiness, my own perfectionism? Am I worshiping my comfort? Am I worshiping my need for approval or comfort? Or am I actually trusting you for who you say I am? And therefore, these all these people and all these circumstances don't have to conform to me. And that really helps set the stage, whatever season we're in, whether it's the little years where kids are disobedient. Oh, we're going to train up our kids, but our happiness isn't dependent on whether our kids obey. Like our ability to be joyful in the season isn't dependent on whether or not they can shower on their own, right, Brooke? You know, like,
but it does help when they can. It does help when they can.
It does help, and our lives do change. But I think that's our heart posture is different in that, that it doesn't matter whether this season brings the worst news or the best news. Your hope can be anchored on Christ, regardless of whether your kids turn out to love Jesus or if they walk away for a season. Whatever is happening, whether you're dating or you're starting a business, whatever God's got for you in your season of life, this will apply.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I quote you to you? just to sum up exactly what you're saying, this just really resonated with me. And I think it's from When Striving Ceased, but you can tell me. But you said, when I substitute God's purpose for my own performance, I make myself a slave to perfection, believing my awesomeness will save me from discomfort, embarrassment, and other fears I dread most. And when I let myself believe that my performance is the key to securing all that I need in life, including God's favor, I love this, I set myself up for joyless doing. I think that just so summarizes what you just said. That is actually the byproduct of our striving and our trying to perform and our trying to produce when it's not our time to be doing that in the way that we think maybe it should be. And there are times when we are supposed to use all of our giftings to produce and to push ourselves and try new things. And but then there are times when that's not our season. And I think really it's wisdom that we have to ask God for of how do we know when that season is and when he's releasing us to a new one. And, you know, I'm the kind of person that would love it to be super black and white and clear. And it's not always
It's clear. It feels rarely. Yeah. I don't mean to change our subject, but I want to know about this book that's coming out. What is the official launch date of your book, Emmanuel?
Yeah, it's September 13. And I don't know. Whenever this airs, it'll likely be close.
It'll be out already. Yeah, it'll be really close.
You know, I think this conversation really matters because, and I'm so glad we spent time talking about being those saved out of perfectionism and saved out of that striving, because I think what causes us, if you know me at all, you know, I just can't help but be super, super honest and a little like transparent about everything. Because I just don't think we're not doing anybody any favors if we hide the truth. And so I did not write an Advent devotional because I do Christmas well. It's because I always come out on the other side with a letdown. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
I often cry on Christmas morning because I had my expectations wrapped up in something that didn't come to fruition. And so, I'm an immigrant. I'm an immigrant, born in Taiwan, raised in the United States. My parents weren't believers when I was young, so I didn't have Advent in my life at all. Like I didn't have the anticipation of Christ or the Norman Rockwell Christmas traditions that the all-American family grew up with. And so, so I kept searching and wanting to like somehow have the quote perfect Christmas. Because then if you think about being somebody who's a striver, then you're like, I mean, I'm that girl who I don't actually feel warm and free when I see Hobby Lobby put out all their Christmas stuff. I feel like I got to win at this and I don't know how to win. Like I feel like I'm going to screw up or like I'm going to miss it. Or what do I have to do to succeed? I'm just being really honest. Like I feel stressed because I feel like there's a way to do this well and I'm afraid I can't do it well. And so this book is an Advent journey that takes us all the way back to, okay, here's the truth. Emmanuel, God with us, is who we actually are celebrating. That baby born in the manger is not the actual point. The point is that he came to be our Messiah, who actually, because of the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Christ, he never leaves us. When you are in Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, what we celebrate at Christmas time actually should impact us all year round. So it's not that this devotional is meant to be read all year round or that Advent is supposed to be all year round. And for sure, I want to be super clear. I'm not saying that it's not powerful to carry on traditions or to love, you know, stringing up lights and being beautiful about your decor and intentional about your activities. I'm not saying that those things are important. I'm saying as parents, if we put our hope in those activities, we will always come out on the other side, feeling a little disappointed, a little fearful that we haven't created the perfect Christmas. And what we want to lead our kids to, and I wrote this devotional in a way where if you've read my family discipleship devotional called Foundations, it's written similarly where you can read it out loud as a family if you want to. You can read it with your spouse. You can read it by yourself as a personal devotion. But however you want to do it, it's a devotional that will start the conversation and like anchor us in, are we coming into the season hoping that the Christmas season will bring us the peace, joy, the sense of like, we love each other and we're here for a purpose. Are we hoping that that will do so, will do this? Or are we hoping that Christ will transform us? Because our posture going into the Christmas season will absolutely affect the way we receive the season, whether or not we're going to be anxious the whole time, whether we're going to be hustling the whole time, whether we're going to be like, everybody, this has to be right if we're going to have Christmas. We don't need to have Christmas. The hope is not the actual holiday. The hope is that this is I liken it to the fact that if you take the Lord's Supper, if you belong to a church that regularly brings you into the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the magic isn't in the actual bread and wine. You're not actually like, wow, doing this is going to save me. It's that you're pausing to remember what the true hope of salvation is. You're pausing to remember what Christ has done with his broken body and his shed blood. In the same way, the holiday season, Christmas season, it's not those 25 days leading up to Christmas Day that's so magical, that's going to change your life. It's that we're pausing enough to remember what truly does.
Wow. Well, I would like to say that we are sold on you on this book. And we are excited to take our family through it, especially given that, you know, I know for us, we're always looking for good resources around this. And so I'm just selfishly excited to let our crew know and our listeners know about this, because it's, I think what you actually did was decide to give us a Christmas gift with this book, because it not only is it a beautiful design, so you can obviously use it for that, but you can also then just use it as an incredible tool. I love the three things that you have at the end of each thought and each day of the ponder, pray, and or pray, ponder, praise, and pray. Is that right? Yeah. And I love those three. It's like three action items. Like, think about this, praise God about this, and here's a practical prayer for you to pray into your family. That's just one logistical thing that I think is so good, because so often these kinds of devotionals or books can stay ethereal. But I love that you didn't just talk about the grandioseness of Jesus, which is so beautiful and needs to be talked about, but bringing it down to the real life experience of like, now let this into your home. And so I know it feels wrong to talk about Christmas right now when it's still so sunny out and beautiful, but like before we know it, we're going to be having this. So I'm so glad you got this out when you did, and thank you for the gift that I know is going to be to some. Mm-hmm. No, it's a lot, not just some, to a lot of people.
Well, and I love what you said about how many different ways this can be read and that you can read it aloud as a family. And I was just thinking, last Christmas, she was 9 then, our now 10-year-old daughter said to me, "Mom, like, I know that Christmas is supposed to be about Jesus, but it really just feels like it's about presents." And she was kind of asking me like, and I was like, you are 100% right. Like, and it caused me to think like, okay, how can we are a family who loves Christmas and we love to buy gifts for each other and we have a million traditions and I don't feel any need for that to change. But when she said that, I realized, gosh, I want her to remember more. And how can I cultivate in our home a whole season about Jesus? Not like, oh, let's make sure we remember him on Christmas Day.
And that it doesn't go away on December 28th. That we're not like, oh, let's pack up the tree and now we won't really remember that God is with us. And so, you know, the subtitle of the book is An Invitation to Prepare Him Room at Christmas and Always. And I think that subtitle kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier in this podcast, that we have to make room for what's really important, right? Yeah, it's not going to just naturally happen. In the same way that we spent some time talking about how, as a young mama, I had to make room for what was important to me and that I had to be committed to writing and honing that craft. We can't just assume that we're going to really think about God with us during the Christmas season unless we prepare him room in our hearts. Yeah. Because the truth is, we come into the Christmas season, and I don't know about you, but my life is so full of so many things, and so many worth driving back and forth, scheduling, all the things that fall brings, that it's really easy, even the months leading up to Christmas, for us to think, okay, I have a full life. I've got all this stuff going on. And somehow we think we're going to naturally know how to rest and pause and be intentional in December. And we're just not going to, not unless we prepare him room, meaning that we make room by saying, this is not what I want to worship. This is who's going to dwell here now. And so I want to make room for that. And the book helps us posture our hearts and causes us to go, what actually is this about? And make room for that.
That's beautiful. Well, I know you from a distance, and even now getting to know you more is beautiful, but I think you have a gift to bless people's senses, their eyes, their ears, the words and the way that you use them to help shape people's minds. Mm-hmm. You have a gift to bless people's senses, and thank you for blessing us, because this is no small thing, and it's a whole package, and that's such a gift. And so if you're someone who's visually stimulated, this is going to do that. But if you're someone who's a words person, it's going to do that. If you're like, I just really love art and I love the creation of beauty, you did that too. And so just thank you for sharing that with us and sharing that with the world. And thanks for doing the work early so that you had space and time and honestly, the bandwidth and maturity to be able to put this out in a way that's healthy for you and healthy for your family at a time when it's a gift and not a curse. And so thanks for your time today, Ruth. It's been a pleasure talking with you and getting to know you. And everybody, go get the book. Emmanuel comes out September 13th, and go get it. Thank you for coming on today.
Super honored. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.